I am grateful, my brothers and sisters and friends, for this opportunity of being with you in health and strength and enjoying the spirit of this conference. There are many things that might be spoken. There are many things of great importance for the progress and welfare of this people, and I'm sure that they'll be brought out during the conference. In thinking over that which I might say, I have thought of many things, and among other things, I think one of the greatest and the most important is that spirit which brings us to unity and to willingness to cooperate and to comply with the desires and the instructions of our leaders, and particularly with regard to the observance of the laws and commandments of the Lord. And that is the principle of obedience. When Saul, king of Israel, was instructed by Samuel, the prophet, to smite the Amalekites, who had been a bar in the way of the children of Israel in their trailing through the wilderness, the king failed to do what he was instructed to do. And Samuel rebuked him with these words: "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the word of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." King Saul was rejected by the Lord as a result of his disobedience in failing to comply with the instructions which he had received from his Lord's servant. Now, as a matter of fact, as it might appear, nothing happened, because Saul continued as the king of Israel. Anyone who might have heard that statement of Samuel would have concluded that it had failed. But Samuel had gone on the instructions of the Lord to another place, to Bethlehem, and there had selected a young man and had anointed him to become king of Israel. I say Saul remained for some time, but the judgment of the Lord came upon him. After a certain time, he went into battle and was killed in the natural way in the fight. And that, I think, is an evidence of what we may expect as the sons and daughters of God, wherever we may live. If we learn to obey the instructions that are given to us, and especially if there comes to us inspiration from those who have authority, or if we fail to comply with the laws and commandments that the Lord has given, we are in the way of undergoing condemnation. It may come about in a perfectly natural way, because obedience or disobedience to any spiritual or natural law or to civil laws brings the reward or the penalty in every instance. The Apostle James, in speaking with regard to the importance of the observance of law and at the same time of the perfect agency or freedom of every individual to do as he or her chooses, makes this statement: "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." There again, even though this every principle given to us of the Lord is, as a part of the gospel, is a law of liberty, and the gospel itself is a law of liberty, we have the choice whether we shall accept it or reject it, whether we shall live it or shall fail to observe its commandments. But according to that which we do, shall we be judged. And that is perfect fairness and justice, not only in this life, but in the life to come. I might discourse at length, but time will not permit, with regard to the benefits that come to us through the observance of law. As Latter-day Saints, we claim to observe, to honor and sustain, and obey laws, wherever they may be and wherever we may be, to hearken to them. And any man or woman who fails to observe laws, man-made though they may be, frail and lacking in judgment that they may be, if we fail to observe them, we ourselves are the losers. And thereby, if law-breaking continues, there is a disruption and a confusion in civilization, whether in the community or the state or the nation or the world. And to that extent, it is very vital, I think, that we should realize that obedience brings order. Obedience, compliance with law, whether it's civil or natural or spiritual, is of the most vital importance to the continuance of civilization. And I realize, and you realize, that if we observe to do what the Lord has requested of us and has instructed us to do, we shall grow in unity and power, because that's the very source of the power of this people, is their willingness to comply and their desire to observe and thereby to become united. And yet they lose nothing of their individuality or their understanding or their intelligence or their judgment. So that obedience to this perfect law of liberty brings us joy and blessing, as promised by the Apostle James. Now you remember again the statement made by the prophet Joseph Smith. There's a law irrevocably decreed in heaven before the foundations of this world upon which all blessings are predicated. And when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated. Now that applies to every principle of the gospel. I'll not take the time to discuss them in detail. I need only say to you that every principle of the gospel that the Lord has given us is positive, is forward-looking, and everything contrary to that is negative. And thereby, I think we may conclude that everything that we receive that is of light and advancement and that is higher-looking and forward-looking is from God, intended for the welfare and progress of mankind. It requires action. It requires determination. It requires judgment to observe these conditions, and to be disobedient or to fail or to neglect, which is all negative, only brings us sorrow and sadness. By doing wrong things, we are doing the negative things. By doing the right things, we are doing the positive things. Now, without going into detail, because time will not permit of it, I might refer you to some of the things the Lord has commanded us to do. In the first place, he has commanded us to teach our children correct principles, that they may live righteously, and that they may grow in the knowledge of the truth and become faithful, active men and women in this church. If we fail to do that, as fathers and mothers, we shall lose the blessing which will come to us otherwise, and our children, if they fail to receive it and fail to observe it, will also lose the blessing. If we fail to observe the word of wisdom, we are negatively giving ourselves freedom to excesses, free to go forward and do excessive, live in excessive way, in moderation. If we observe it, we learn moderation. We learn control of our appetites and our desires, our passions, so far as they affect us physically. The same with regard to the observance of the Sabbath day. If we live in accordance with that instruction, we will grow in righteousness and in peace and in content. If we fail to observe it, if we give ourselves to excessive pleasure, we are simply hurting ourselves and interfering with our progress. And so, if we cultivate hatred and envy and jealousy, instead of cultivating love, we suffer thereby. On the contrary, if we cultivate love for our fellow men and for all that are dear to us and for our eternal Father, then we grow in righteousness and in peace and in happiness. And with morality, if we observe the principles which we've been instructed to observe, we shall grow in faith and strength and power. And if we fail, we grow in vice and licentiousness, which is prevalent throughout the world today. And likewise, if we're growing in faith, we're becoming stronger, abler, and more spiritual men and women, and thereby we'll grow in unity and faith. And on the contrary, if we cultivate doubt and fail to cultivate that spirit of forward-looking and progress, we shall lose the opportunities that are ours. Then again, if we fail to observe the law of tithing, the principle that God has given us for our progress, a blessing or a principle with a promise, we shall fail in that respect. I want to call your attention to the fact that we've been instructed by our brethren who preside over this church here upon the earth to asking us, all of us, to observe all these principles. I think in large measure the Latter-day Saints are endeavoring to observe them. The more fully we'll observe them, the greater the blessing to us. We are the ones who gain or lose by living or failing to observe these commandments and these instructions and these principles. And so, my brethren, I and sisters, I urge upon you that so far as you have influence, because I presume that every one of you is faithful in the observance of every one of these principles and striving continually to live, to increase in faith and power and righteousness and in the observance of every commandment the Lord has given, that we do influence our brethren and sisters and all of whom we come in contact as far as possible to appreciate the fact that obedience and compliance with the principles which the Lord has given to us are the means of our greatest progress and salvation. I remember that 6 months ago, President Grant gave certain instructions with regard to what he expected of the officers of this church in the observance of various principles. I think there should be no hesitancy whatever in our faithful observance of all these things. There's no reason at all why any man or woman who receives authority in this church should not set the example of righteous living in every way and of faithful compliance with every request made of us, because there isn't a request made that isn't reasonable. My brethren and sisters, time will not permit of further speaking. I pray the Lord to bless us. May this conference become a source of rejoicing and joy to us throughout the entire time. May the blessings of God continue to abide with us, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.